Hey guys, this is episode 16 of Noodle Time. Welcome. Here with me is Matt Jordan's 50th signing that checks all the boxes, Tony Rubio. Tony, say hello.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Happy to join the team on this 11-game not winning streak, and we're going to turn it around. No worries, baby.
Yeah, next week when we have four games in less than a week, so yeah, for sure.
And guys, how's everybody been? I know it's been a little bit of a little time hiatus. You know, we already talked about it before, but me and Andres are living very, very exciting lives with little time. Well, not really. We're just working and haven't had much time to record. So thank you guys for bearing with us and for those that have asked about where the heck we are.
Oh, yeah. You guys asked for an episode for like the past couple of weeks. And yeah, I've been trying to keep it as transparent as possible. Basically, within our work schedules have been changing a lot, and we had to like work around those. And this is kind of like the only time in the past couple of weeks that we're able to record, sit down and record, only because it's like that time of day where we're not working and we're just free to do what we like to do, which is discuss all Dynamo Dash things, you know, all the soccer ring, all the foxes, you know, we just really appreciate you guys for your patience and also the guys that kept asking us on Twitter and social media about it for the episodes. It means a lot to us, and obviously that's what drives us to just keep being that voice for all of you guys and just for us, like for our love for soccer and the teams essentially. So yeah.
Because we're not doing this for money, I'll tell you that. But now we just always had a passion to start something like this for years now. Me and Andres have been talking about it, so thank you guys for just inquiring. But we promise we're not going anywhere. We just are trying our best to try to get something out every week, and if not every week, every other week. But I mean, it's been a crazy few weeks for the Dynamo. It feels like a lot has changed, but at the same time, not a lot has changed. And we're just gonna. It's going to be kind of a rant episode. We're not going to have too much direction. We're just going to talk, see where it takes us. Talk a little about current happenings, but just talk about the state of affairs that everybody's been talking about from the front office, to the coaching staff, to the players. We're just going to break down our thoughts and see where it takes us this episode.
Oh, yeah. In this episode, we're mostly going to focus on Tab Ramos and Matt Jordan, since it's a topic that has been like pretty rampant over like the Dynamo community. Like a lot of fans have been talking about it. And obviously with the Dynamo not winning a single game in the past couple of months, it's been pretty much the topic everyone's talking about. And we're just hoping to like pretty much talk about it, both Tab and Matt Jordan. Obviously Matt Jordan is the obvious fire over here, but this is the case being for and against Tab. Heading into his last season under contract, and what's going to happen with Tetsigal's new owner, and if he's going to bring in a new GM or not. So we're going to discuss those things, and also we're going to have the Dynamo Loan Army towards the end, a couple of updates, and obviously Marcelo Palomino being Marcelo Palomino, absolute baller, hashtag recall Palomino.
Yes, we're starting it here.
Yes, it starts here. Palomino, Carrasquilla, Urruti, goal. That's how it goes. And yeah. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the episode. We're going to go ahead and start with Tab Ramos. Obviously, he came in last year in a pretty tough year when the pandemic started. Lots of things that happened around the league when the pandemic started. Obviously, the most important one being that there was a, I believe it was like a 3 to 5 month pause right after the second game of the season last year. And with that, it came out a ton of implications, being that the player market stalled, pretty much up the practices stalled, like operations, like day-to-day operations within the league stopped or changed over the course of time. And obviously that not being the case this year, it's pretty much different. We're kind of going back to normal, but we still have the restrictions of like practice and testing and vaccinations now. And it's been a really difficult situation when it comes to Tab, since as of right now, I am personally in defense of whether we'd like to keep Tab or not heading to next year with potentially a new GM under the ownership of Ted Segal. But on paper, though, it's not looking good for him. Obviously, we have the main issue being that the Dynamo have not won a single game in more than 2 months. And he also has been winless in the last 11 games, which is a club record now, which has been surpassed last week against Minnesota United.
And we don't even know who we're losing to anymore or tied to at this point, but it's just become one big blur.
Yeah, and another point that was brought up thanks to the user Depressed Dynamo on Twitter is that Tab is now the coach with the least amount of points earned in Dynamo history after 41 games. In his first 41 games, he only earned 39 points. And in comparison to the other full-time coaches that led the Dynamo past 41 games, we had Owen Coyle in front of him with 47 points after 41 games.
Hey, nice guy. After nice that, guy right there.
Believe it or not, the second coach, like right next to Owen Coyle, Dominic Kinnear, the most successful coach in Dynamo history. And guess who is in front of him? Coach Cabrera.
Vamos.
More open cups than Dominic Kinnear. Am I right?
Let's settle down there. Let's settle down.
Yeah. Wilmer earned 58 points in his first 41 games with Dynamo, and that's been a pretty interesting point of discussion for the people that would not like Tab here, which I feel like it's kind of unfair to deal with Tab only because I'm bringing up the issue of the pandemic and obviously the player market and obviously Matt Jordan like playing an influence with like almost 8 years on the team and pretty much bringing up the same results. I don't know if it's a fair point to discuss, but obviously at the same time, we have to discuss the issue being that looking back to the last 11 games for Dynamo, which have not resulted in wins, for the most part, it's been mostly just changes into player changes, like more than formation changes, which I feel like it's something that Tab has to consider at this point on, because he's going on the field with the same formations, kind of almost with the same starting lineups and expecting different results, but we're still getting the same losses and ties at the same time without a sense of urgency to get that win already, and instead we just have to like deal with ties, like 1 point per game, our points per game average dropping down and just dropping on the standings overall, which makes a lot of Dynamo fans unhappy.
Let me say, first of all, like just starting from the beginning to what you started on, the whole initial discussion of Tab Ramos, it seems like right now Dynamo fandom is kind of cut in two. And I would say from talking to Andres a lot, me and him are pretty much in the middle there. And we can explain why, because obviously there's people, not even names, that have started to wave the banner saying Tab out, he's the worst coach in Dynamo history, blah, blah, blah. Tensions are high, results aren't good. Valid. I hear you guys. There's other people that say COVID 2020 was not an actual soccer year. This is Tab's first year. Give him time. I hear you guys too. But me and Andres are in the middle. This is Tab's last year with contract. Matt Jordan's last year of contract. We have a new owner. We're not calling for this guy to get fired today or tomorrow. We're just saying, why don't we step back and look at it a little bit? And I think that's kind of what we're going to break down a little bit more in this episode on the nuances that Andres has started to get into. But, I mean, obviously, we don't have a very talented roster. I think most any Dynamo fan will agree with that. We don't know how much of a hindrance. We know how much of a hindrance Matt Jordan is. Like that's been established. So the next step is trying to fairly assess Tab Ramos's performance. And what we have, like Andres said, is 41 games, 39 points made out of that. And what we can really start to break down, obviously things aren't going to look great, is the past 11 games where we haven't won. And as you were saying, Andres, I agree with you there. Obviously, we heard Tim Parker's comment, first of all. You want to talk about that a little bit, and then we can dive into the rest?
Oh, yeah. Like, the comment made by Tim Parker that was essentially brought up after the Minnesota United game with the Dynamo essentially broke the win the streak record. It's an interesting point of discussion, since either it could have been either taken out of context, but at the same time, just reading through the comment again and again, I feel like it's extremely concerning. Obviously, with the sense that this is your 11th game without a single win, and you're almost scraping the cellar of the Western Conference standings, and just reading the quote and just trying to transcribe what he said essentially is that we're not giving our best, and it's pretty weird, because they're in the mentality that they sense that they're almost at the place they want to be in the sense of success, but at the same time, we look back and we look at the last 11 games, it's hard to think about like the team improving at this time, like, only because if you look at the quote, it's pretty much a Tim Parker saying that, "I don't think it weighs us that much. Obviously, we want to win games. We want to be aggressive and try to win games at the end of the day, but we have to take this step by step." And when you try to analyze it, like, how many steps more is it going to take? Because it's now been 11 games. And yeah.
Patience is low within this fan base. And I think people have the right to not have the patience. Obviously, there's people calling for Tab's head. There's people calling for time. But it seems like we've been in a potential rebuild for six years now. And yeah, people are asking for more time. Yeah, rightly so, things aren't going to change overnight, no matter how bad we want it. Let's get that straight. But I think fans are rightfully, they're in the right to ask for results and action straight away somehow. And what you were saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that Tab's not really changed much proactively to get that in terms tactically. We know what we have talent wise, but we're rolling out the same 4-3-3 every week. Some have called it a high press system, which has really kind of been a looser term towards the end, where we're not seeing as much possession. But we definitely could say the defense has obviously improved. Yes, has it been rocky at times this year? Yes, but it's definitely improved. But we're not seeing any changes in the attacking half. You had to include Gold Cup absences, red cards from namely Darwin Sorrent, injuries. There's a lot to take in, like any team. But people are pissed off. I'm pissed off. I mean, bottom line, it's just not good enough, no matter how bad we've been in the past years.
Oh, yeah. And just going back to the case that Dynamo fans have the right to be concerned about this, they 100% should have the right for it, because it's been 8 years like this. And we've been promised over and over again a rebuild that essentially led to coaches getting fired while Matt Jordan stayed. So they definitely have the right to be concerned about it. And yeah, just looking at Tim Parker's quote and essentially what Ty is trying to do to get back into the playoff hunt, which looks pretty difficult at this time of the, at this, like, almost at the halfway point through the season. Like, unless there are like any drastic changes to the lineup, like, unless and obviously with the window now closed, they did make some additions to it. And like you said, they definitely improved defensively. But I feel like Tab is like running out of ideas if he's not willing to change that much. And it's only a matter of time until we see what's going to happen at the end. And yeah, like earlier when you mentioned that it's it could go either way. It's really tough to say for Tab. Like, obviously, we mentioned that it's like last year was a COVID year, and it was like extremely difficult situation for Tab and the team. and to like adjust to this first true season going back, like going off the pandemic. It's pretty tough if you think about it, because there's this the people that want to have out because of the performances lately, but then you have to consider what happened last year and what Hayes has been trying to do under Matt Jordan with the players that he's bringing in, and he's essentially has to work with what he's given. And so it's, you mentioned it well, like we're in the middle point. We're straight up on the fence, and I'm not ready to say that Tab should leave the team, because I feel like at this point it's pretty unfair for him with what we said before.
I agree, and you know, we both agree, so what, but you have to face the reality of the talent we have, of the results we're getting, and you do have to demand answers, because we know we're a smaller media market. We know maybe sometimes the pressure isn't there that obviously you'd get in Atlanta and Seattle. And this will kind of move us on to the next point, which we'll move back and forth between Tab and Matt and everything. But who's the man that's been overlooking this whole process for 8 years? It's Matt Jordan. And look, I know there's some fans, I'm not saying some fans are stupid, I'm not saying some fans are smarter, but there's just some that are saying, oh, you people just want to fire people, you just want to see heads roll, and you think results will come automatically. Obviously, we're not naive. We know that's not how football works. Just because one guy gets fired doesn't mean results and magic is going to happen right afterwards. And, you know, I'll name a name here. He's our good Dynamo friend, David. I don't even know his last name. Sutherland, I think.
Yes, Sutherland.
If he's listening to this from a group message that me and Andres have with him, he's kind of always one that's balancing opinions, and it's fun to have conversations with him about the Dynamo, because you know one guy's always a heel in the conversation, and you know, it makes us think. But not that he's a Matt Jordan lover, but he's always kind of bringing the other perspective about the footballing sport director world. And obviously, you know, he's saying that, you know, just because he's one of those guys that's saying that we're going to fire Matt Jordan doesn't mean that results are going to come. And I understand that. But when a guy is in a position for 8 years and has pretty much no long-term success to show for it, we have, you know, small blips along the way, Open Cup, one playoff appearance, that's not good enough. That's the bottom line. That's what I'm trying to get at. That there's not a leash there to give him, hey, we're going to give you two more years to do your process. No, because he's proven in those 8 years that he's not capable of progressing. And I don't care that we're one of the lowest budget teams in the league. There's other low budget teams. I'm starting to look at Philadelphia, who's very much down in the low budget of this league and have still found the way to success. And here we are, 8 years after the hiring of Matt Jordan from Montreal, with practically nothing to show for it. And am I putting myself across there? Well, Andres, I'm not saying I disagree with David, but he's right. This is a process, and he was getting to the nuances of it. You know, we really have to hit on draft picks. We have to start hitting on homegrowns, and we have to use our TAM correctly throughout this league. But we've done none of that correctly. None of that is what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, like at this point in time, like 8 years with Matt Jordan, like, you have to keep asking, why is he still here? Because is it because he knows like the rule book well enough to be here? Because you just mentioned it. He only has an Open Cup to show for it. Other than that, like that 1 year, like still doesn't overwhelmingly like negate his last seven, because it's pretty much been 10 road wins. The lowest season finish in club history last year.
Please repeat that stat one more time for those people that didn't hear on Twitter.
10 road wins in league play.
Since what year?
2014.
Guys, that's 7 years. 10 freaking road wins in 7 years.
Then, like, obviously the worst part being that it's he's been responsible for the two longest playoff drafts in club history. So it's pretty much been like since he came in 2014 all the way up until like 2016, because 2017 was the year we made the Western Conference final with Wilmer Cabrera. But after that, no more playoffs to this day. So it's been two playoff droughts. And also, like, just recently, he is also being somewhat responsible for the longest winless streak in club history, which happened last week, of course. But yeah, like you look at those numbers.
I mean, you have to look, step back and look at the numbers, which I'm not telling you. I don't have a graph in front of me to tell you, but you can say all day, all you want, oh, we're a low budget team. He doesn't have a lot to work with. Then explain over $1 million Darwin Quintero on the bench this season.
Pretty much.
Explain $1.3 million to the Argentine second division with Mateo Bahamic on the bench this season. I'm not saying the guy's a flop already. He's super young. He's got a long career ahead of him. But like I said in the last episode, the Dynamo is not a team to spend $1.3 million on a player and not have him being an impact starter on this team. That's unacceptable.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that, and when you consider the past DPs in on a team like Thomas Martinez, a flop on DPs terms at least, and obviously Alex Lopez is way back, and yeah, you look at the designated players, you look at the signings. Obviously, he hit out of the park with Albert Feliz and Mar Manotas, but that's about it. Everything else was mostly miss or miss.
I mean, so I was telling Andres, I participated in kind of a. Sort of a round table slash panel the other day with some of those guys that you guys might know, like Victor Ariza, Jesus from the Bayutician, Christian from Cuatro Cruzados, and a lot of other names. Sorry if I didn't mention you guys right now. I don't want to list everything, but they were talking about how, okay, we're a low budget team. You just got to take it on the chin sometimes. And people would say, okay, we're a low budget team. Let's develop some youth. Let's sell some youth. Okay, maybe we don't have that much. Let's move on. Let's buy low, sell high. Hey, let's get Albert Elise in here. Let's get Mauro Manotas in here. And what does Matt Jordan do? He screws the hell out of selling these players. Yeah, I mean, it was reported figures, but I think at one point Elise was getting attracted to like around $7 million bids from like Fenerbahce in Turkey. And a couple other teams around there, if I'm not wrong there, right, Andres? And then Mauro Manotas, I think at one point, was getting attraction from Cruz Azul for like $6 million. And there was other reports that he was getting sniffs from Liga and from Porto in the Portuguese league. Why don't you sell at that point? Obviously, nobody expected Kovo to come and screw everything up. But then you sell at least for $1 freaking million. Which we didn't even get paid until now because his contract expired. And then Mauro, unhappy after a bad season, contract also starting to expire. What do we do? I don't know. What are we selling for? Like $3 million something dollars, $2 million to Tijuana?
Peanuts, yeah.
That's what we have to be pissed off about. And I'm starting to get pissed off naming this stuff myself. It's just unacceptable there when you say we're a low-budget team. But he's been given some leash. He's been given some cash. To go out there and try to make impact signings and miss after miss after miss after miss. That's where I'm starting to get at the root. So I think 98% of Dynamo fans would be in agreement that, all right, Matt Jordan needs to go. We need to find somebody to build around. And maybe not just one general manager, but, you know, this might exist already in the Dynamo organization. Sorry if I'm going on a rant here, but at least for the transparency sake, us as diehard fans don't know about this. If Matt Jordan has somewhat more of a technical team around him that really kind of branches out and scouts, because from what we see, it kind of seems like Matt Jordan is almost like a one-man show and we don't ever see in the media or anything else any other guys that kind of are assisting him in the spotlight at least. And so maybe bring in one like technical director and then like an assistant GM. I don't know. I'm just putting ideas out in the head, but it almost seems like this Dynamo team is run too much like a minor league soccer, baseball, whatever team you want. It's just minor league, in my opinion. And after DeMarcus Beasley would rather retire than keep losing from what a season or two ago, that was one of his parting quotes. Why am I going to keep playing if I'm the Dynamo and even pretty much in contention to do anything, just losing after a year? He kind of went under the radar saying that. And here we are now. Forced the USMNT legend into retirement early.
Yeah, like you compile everything you said. Like, defending Matt Jordan is impossible because it's pretty much indefensible. Like, you look at the aspects of creating talent, like, as soon as he started, like, there was like second to no production of that. And like, trying to sell players, where at the point where he could get like the most return on investment from Elise and Manotas, he screwed up too. And with like one of the biggest legends in the US men's national team, like, retires because of your ineptitude and because of your it's tough not to get angry, but like whenever Beasley like tells you that he'd rather retire than keep losing because of your own actions, like, it's really like upsetting, honestly. Like, it's tough not to be calm about it. And obviously, this being the theme for like the past 8 years, like, how can you defend this guy?
That's pretty much where I'm at. And I don't know, I've said it before, I just want to reiterate, I don't know Matt Jordan personally. I don't have a vendetta against this guy personally, but we're talking football here, we're talking soccer, talking Houston Dynamo Football Club, and we don't really have a standard at this club, it seems like. But let me tell you, Matt Jordan is not it. And I just kind of want to end that part of the discussion with MJ, that where MJ is out. If it was up to me, he leaves in the next month. But, you know, Ted Segal said he's going to give everybody, quote unquote, their fair shake. And it just kind of bothers me, or makes me a little bit scared, that we're still getting significant transfer action with Matt Jordan at the helm. Like, that almost doesn't make sense if we're in such a bad rut. Matt Jordan's been here for 8 years without results. I'm not sure that he deserves a fair shake. But any last comments there on Matt Jordan before we turn this into an MJ Rose session?
Oh, yeah. He had to be fired 3 years ago after right around the season where they didn't make playoffs after the Western Conference final run. Like, that was the moment he had to go, and which was already proven, and we suffered the consequences with Elisa Manotas leaving and not getting barely any return for it. It would be nice if we would be like fired like soon, like, only because, like, in my opinion, it would be like a pretty good message to the team, his intentions to improve as soon as possible. And also, I feel like it could be like a pretty boost of confidence for Tab. But also, just thinking about, like, everyone having the fair shake of things, like, getting equal treatment, I also feel like that's also okay. Even though, obviously, on paper, as we discussed, like, Matt Jordan doesn't deserve to be here. But we just have to wait and see. Like, we're in an interesting period with a new owner, so anything can go by. And there's also reason to worry, since, like, every day that Matt Jordan's still here, it's still, a reasonable way to like worry for fans as well. So we just have to wait and see, honestly. And this is also going to be the period whenever we see if Ted Segal is actually trying to put this team back on the map.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot left to be seen with Ted Segal, way too early. And we won't see the more impact of what he's doing until this off season, I assume. But kind of moving back a little bit to Tab, the thing that you and me, I know, have discussed, and that several other fans have been touching base on, is the fact that through this 11-game streak, you know, Tim Parker mentions that he wasn't necessarily worried or devastated, however he said it, that we hadn't won, because the process seemed good, essentially, that he thinks the team is playing well and we're near a win. Obviously not what a fan wants to hear from their captain, but regardless of that, stepping back, taking off your angry glasses a little bit and looking at it, you know, more proactively, I can't really even say that from the Dynamo in these past 2 months, 3 months. We have not been playing attractive soccer. And look, if we're winning, we're getting results, I don't care if we're playing attractive soccer. Give me Dom Kinnear booing it up the field with Adam Moffat and Eddie Robinson. And I'm happy. But obviously the defense, like we mentioned, is making strides from years past, but it's not exactly convincing. I think I saw a graph. I mean, I couldn't really describe it to you technically that well, but essentially in terms of goals, what is it? What do they call it? Like goal chances created and...
XG. Yeah. More like it, yeah.
There was a chart about that. Essentially, the Dynamo were in the bottom three of the whole league.
Yeah.
With their chance creation and obviously their finishing. We're not creating chances. We're not really finishing chances. We don't even look like we're close to winning these games most of the time, is what I'm saying. We're staying in the game defensively in, let's say, 3/4 of these games, but there's no hope in the attack. So then that's when we're saying we're not technical geniuses, but hey, maybe we don't have the personnel to play a 4-3-3 pressing the whole game, quote unquote. I don't know, why don't we revert a little bit back to, you know, simpler times that we don't see as much anymore, but, you know, a 4-4-2, let's stick, you know, a guy like Tyler, Mateo up top, where apparently they have been able to play in the past, and maybe try to get a little bit more out of a guy like Memo, playing a little bit more defensively in what you would call not an out-and-out winger role, you know, as a left mid, as a right mid. And just the ideas I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not tactically certified in any way, but I'm just saying this team does not have the talent to win how Tab wants us to win.
Yeah. And just looking back at the previous results this past few weeks, and obviously with Urruti being our only true striker on the roster right now, and with him out, it shows our vulnerability, like how vulnerable we are, like up on the front, and also without Pasher and without Quintero being available to start at least to play off the bench, and Lassiter as well, and not being available as an option, like depending on the occasion. But
yeah, Lassiter of all people, who we've complained about for the longest time. Yeah, and now we wish we had him back.
Apparently, he plays God mode on the Gold Cup, but not here, obviously. But yeah.
it makes you think, when you're in the worst, absolute worst of times, how have we not even bringing in an appearance of some of the homegrown guys we've been mentioned time and time again, like Danny Rios or Juan Castilla? Like, look, like I've said before, I don't know, maybe I give too much disclaimer, but I haven't seen these guys play in person, and probably 99% of Dynamo fans haven't either. But we've been told that these guys are our first team, first team ready, but they're promising and they can maybe bring something to the first team. But we haven't even seen Danny Rios, for example, a winger. I'm pretty sure he plays on the bench one time this season.
Yeah, and for most of these guys, there has to be a point on the season where they have to show up on the field, because there's a reason why they were signed in the first place. Obviously, we saw Hoffman getting his debut recently, which is cool to see. And we also have to, at some point, depending on how marriage holds up during the season, we have to see if Michael Nelson deserves a look. But obviously, it's more, as of right now, obviously, with the Dynamo somewhat improving defensively, and the goals that I've seen so far being somewhat of mistakes by marriage, I feel like there could be like a really good discussion being made for Michael Nelson getting a look for the starting spot. So obviously there's still that to look forward to, depending on how the games go. But
if we had to step back and look at the season as a whole and look at all the players, I'd probably tell you Marco Marić was in my top three players of the season.
Yeah,
keeping us in games. But the two mistakes he's made are so bad that you can't get him out of your mind, no matter how hard you try. That the goal he gave versus Colorado, where he freaking tries to play it out of the back and gives it to a Colorado player, and then against Minnesota, obviously gets a very hard knuckling ball at him, but just drops it in front of him for somebody to tap it in, is unacceptable as a goalkeeper. And obviously, like I said, we're not calling for heads to be rolled here, but if things aren't changing result wise, then the personnel, new guys need to be given chances if they haven't already.
Yeah, and the point I was trying to make is that obviously, like player forms change, but if it's still gonna be the same way as the past few games without many results, you have to bring in the kids at some point. You have to bring in like fresh faces, or like at least try something new with the roster, because like I mentioned like early in the episode, if you're gonna keep doing the same thing, nothing's gonna happen. And we've seen it time and time again already. This past 11, obviously not everything is happening the same way, but it's been a trend for the past 11 games.
Completely agree. And kind of moving into a little bit of a different chapter, obviously most people have heard, obviously we brought in three additions this offseason, and we sent out one, which I'm not happy about, just with the way that has turned out, which we'll talk about in a second. But throughout this season, I've seen that the Dynamo have lost so much about in midfield. And Joe Corona, for example, has been a welcome addition and stability at this, with this Dynamo team. But there was a reason, even on a bad LA Galaxy team last year, he wasn't a starter. Obviously, they had Jonah, Sebastian Leje, guys like Sasha Kleshton, et cetera, et cetera. But Joe Corona is a great player to have on your team. But he would be so much better off complimented around better players around him, obviously. And I'm not singling out Joe Corona. I love the addition this year. It's just an example I'm giving that we're just not good enough talent-wise in the midfield. And I think that shows more than any other position on this Dynamo team this year. That's namely from the creative aspect. You can tell Derek Jones, you can tell Matias Vera to be a destroyer for you all day. And we know Mati isn't just a destroyer, you know. The guy can play too. But when it comes to attacking, Corona has kind of been entitled to that a little bit more, with nothing to show for it. Memo has just gone AWOL this season. Started promising for two games. You got to call a spade a spade. And just fizzled out. Quintero, nowhere to be seen. That's where people are like, okay, should we have kept Marcelo Palomino and let him have some minutes? Maybe, but that's in the past. So in terms of additions, we added Adalberto Carrasquilla, Panamanian international center mid. Do you have any notes on him, Andres? Anything you've seen?
It looks promising. It's still early. Obviously, like, I've only seen like barely less than a game to show for it, but like from what I've seen so far, it looks very promising. It could be like a pretty good addition, but obviously it's another Matt Jordan addition, which could go either way. So
yeah, but as far as Matt Jordan signings go, definitely from what I've read about, well, first of all, he came from FC Cartagena from the second division in Spain. He's a full-blown Panamanian international at 22 years old, starting in their midfield from this Gold Cup. So right off the bat, you know, I see a lot of Dynamo fans complaining, who the heck is this guy? And look, come on, I know we're mad at Matt Jordan scouting, we're mad at not bigger name signings, but this guy seems like he can ball. So that he's going to make an impact as a first-team player on the Dynamo team, 100% in my opinion. And now we just have to, obviously, bring him in the middle of an absolutely terrible, hectic season and see what he can do for us, which isn't the best position to put a player in.
Yeah.
He has time. He's going to be on loan until next summer with an option to buy. So if he plays well, he's going to play himself into a contract with the Dynamo.
Yeah, there's that, and also the fact with the option to buy with potentially a new GM or potentially a new head coach maybe. So that's to look forward to, but I'd like to see more, honestly. Like, I've seen the highlights of him in the before heading into the Dynamo, and he looks like, I'm looking forward to see him develop and to see how he's gonna fit with the team. But it's he already has like somewhat of pressure heading to the team, obviously with the team on a rough shape, and him being tasked to essentially save them in a way. So it's got to be interesting to see how it goes.
On the surface level, I love the signing. And we were talking about earlier about why is Matt Jordan still getting to make moves if he hopefully will not be here after this season, because we probably won't have a postseason. I mean, first of all, he brought in Carrasquilla, our biggest signing probably of the offseason, excluding Hadebe. It was a loan. So, okay, you're looking at it maybe with a little bit more rosy glasses at that point. You're saying, okay, maybe they let Jordan bring in a loan. Because they're saying you might not even be here after the season. I'm just looking at it that way. Maybe that's a positive point. But also, you know, I think it was around $300,000 to bring him in on loan, and it's going to cost around $1.5 million if I'm not incorrect, to sign him next year if we want to. So like Andres says, if we bring in a new gym, if we bring in a new coach, it's a good spot to be in case he doesn't pan out. But then again, Carrasquilla has a lot to play for himself. He's a starter on the Panamanian national team. He has a lot of pressure from his country and a lot of pressure on himself because he was actually linked to Real Madrid Castilla, which is Real Madrid's B team, I believe, last year after his first season with FC Cartagena. So the guy can ball. If obviously Real Madrid scouts were looking at him at the age of around 20 years old. He's only 22 now. He had an amazing year with FC Cartagena in his first year in the La Liga 2. Second year, new coach came in, COVID happened. He got less playing time. So in terms of scouting, it seems like the Dynamo maybe picked a diamond in the rough, you could say. Like, he's super promising. He's gotten a lot of attention in the past. But after a little bit of a bad stretch for him, maybe he can come to Houston, turn into a star, and maybe his goal is to earn a big contract and go back to Europe, which I'm fine with if that's helping us.
Yeah, that and also the last significant transfer to the Dynamo being Corey Baird. Obviously, him being brought up from LAFC, not even halfway through the season, because he did join LAFC from Real Salt Lake at the beginning of the year, and the Dynamo came in and managed to acquire him via trade with them for a ton of GAM, general allocation money in a sense. And just looking on paper, the Dynamo did essentially overpay for Corey Baird compared to what LAFC spent for him, I think by around like $250,000 in GAM, maybe, if I'm correct out of the top of my head. But they still paid, they overpaid for him. And not to take it as a point of offense towards him, since like just watching his replays and obviously just watching the games he played so far with the Dynamo, he's a very talented player and a forward that can bring a lot to the table. And is also I'm also like pretty much looking forward to how he transferred to the field of play. Obviously kind of like a Carrasquilla, but he's gonna have a lot more play time, and we'll see how it goes from here with Corey Baird. It feels like a lot of question marks with the team more than answers, obviously. But I mean, we just have to wait and see.
Unfortunately, he picked up an injury, and him and Pastor have not been in training all week apparently. So we probably won't see them for another couple of weeks again. Yeah, and that's kind of the story of the season right now with the Dynamo. We're in so much disarray that we don't even know if this guy's going to feature as a winger or a striker when it comes to a full strength 11, if we ever get back to that. Which that's when it gets a little bit hazy. You're saying, oh, you know, better to have more options. But yeah, it's not really better to have more options if one guy doesn't stand out in the pack like we absolutely need to. So, you know, that's two guys. We have Carrasquilla, Corey Baird, and obviously the third guy brought in was Teenage Hadebe as a DP center back, who has looked pretty great, to be fair. Even though the results haven't been there, I wouldn't say anything is faulting on him completely. He's coming into a really tough time in the season, and him and Tim Parker, I think, are going to be a great partnership for years to come for the Dynamo. So now it comes building around that to make this team better. So, like we saw MLSsoccer.com's article, and they gave Dynamo a B+ for the transfer window. I'd more or less agree, give it around a B. Because there definitely could have been a higher quality signing there, especially in attack. But like we said, maybe the checkbook isn't completely open for Matt Jordan, since he may not be here after this season.
And yeah, and we'll leave it at that, since it's more about how the team is going to gel almost halfway through the season. And
now we're past the halfway point, I think, after like last week, if I'm not incorrect.
Oh, yeah, true. It's just that I usually determine the halfway point through the All-Star game, which is kind of coming up. But yeah, you're right also. But yeah, it's going to come down to how the team gels from here. Obviously, there's still a long season ahead, and it's not looking good on paper, but we just have to wait and see what happens with the new signings and if they actually turn things around, which is what I'm hoping for as Dynamo Sims.
I mean, that's what we're hoping for. It almost seems like the coaching staff is hoping the same thing from what we've seen, no tactical changes on the pitch if the players aren't changing. So let's hope a little bit more proactive action is being taken in that side of the game. But coming up, obviously, we have Colorado at home this week. We have 5 of our next 6 games at home, which is a good thing, but we haven't necessarily lit the world on fire this year at home either. So we have Colorado, who is a very good team, just acquired Mark Anthony Kay from LAFC. Yeah, they got Kellen Acosta back. They got, a great guy like Cole Bassett in the midfield. That's a tough team to play right now. So, you know, they're coming down from a little bit more temperate Colorado in the altitude. Let's see if we can really shock them and get an absolutely necessary 3 points this weekend. We're going to be without Darwin Serén, who actually had his suspension extended after his red card versus Austin FC, without Corey Barrett, without Tyler Basher, and without Darwin Quintero. That's the players that we have known for now. So I think there was a press conference today. I did not attend that virtually, but from some of the comments that came out, Tab is very much aware of the displeasure of the Dynamo fans after some comments last week. And he knows, according to Cuatro Cratos Dos on Twitter, Tab very much knows his head is the first to roll after this season if things don't change. So he knows it's now or never. Let's just see if anything changes on the pitch to actually get a result. What do you think is going to happen in this?
Colorado is one of the best teams in the Western Conference, and they're pretty good on the road. So it's going to be a pretty tough game for them. Obviously, it's a pretty good game to see where the team stands heading into the 12th game in the skid. Will they break it? That's what I'm hoping for, obviously, but there's still a lot to prove with this new team. So I feel like it's going to be a pretty tough game that could go. That could be a wild game with tons of goals, maybe. I don't want to make a prediction since
I'm not making crap. But correct me if I'm wrong here, Andres, but have the Dynamo scored more than 3 goals at least once this season? I was trying to think about that the other day. I haven't looked at the results, but goals. I don't think we've scored more than three goals at all this season in one game.
I will have to look it up, but I think you may be right. Yeah.
Somebody get back to me with that if I'm wrong even. But I think even in the past seasons that haven't been too great, we've kind of always had those Dynamo wins at home where we just come out of nowhere, you know, put a four nil on Portland, or a 3-goal over a 5-1, a 5-2 over somebody, and we just haven't even seen anything close to that this season. So I mean, if there's going to be a prediction, I'm not saying there's a prediction. I'm just hoping the gates freaking open for once, and something changes. But you know, that's kind of the end of our rant portion, kind of wrapping up what's coming. The only things we have left is anything to touch on the bright points of the Dynamo organization, if you can even call it that at this moment.
It is the right point because it's the Dynamo Lone Army. You look at the roster, you see midfielders that have single-digit goals, like even less than 1, 2 maybe, and you pay 3. But you look at Palomino, he scored his 4th goal of the season in his 16th appearance for Charlotte Independence in USO Championship. And he scores his free kick, which... Absolute banger. And just looking at the roster, the Dynamo roster, you barely have any free kick takers. So
No free kick threat on this team.
No bangers. Dynamo has no bangers. So, Palomino did help Charlotte Independence in the 3-2 win over Neo Rebels 2 this week, which is very, very exciting to see him getting all that time to develop while the Dynamo are suffering. And it's just something to look forward to in the future. So I'm just hoping like he could get recalled to the Dynamo hopefully soon so he can help us out.
I mean, possibly, but I think on team, keep him over there, give him a full season in USL.
I'll also be okay with that.
To greener pastures next year. And we're not saying just because he's scoring 4 goals in USL means it's going to translate to MLS, but you know, just want to give a round of applause to Marcelo out there for getting his constant playing time and hoping that's what's best for his progression in his career at this point.
So, yeah, hopefully he keeps playing. He's getting a ton of playing time there, so I hope he keeps it up. And we also have Kyle Morton, obviously the last Dynamo player getting loaned. Obviously one of the third-string goalkeeper is also getting a ton of time. In Memphis 901, his fifth consecutive start this past week. He did lose to OKC Energy 4-1. He did get let up few goals in, mostly because he Memphis did get an early red card, so essentially the floodgates open. So yeah, it was tough for him to keep the score, but he's still getting a lot of time to develop, so that's also good to see. Also good to get that playing time to not lose his craft. And the bad news is mostly just being Eric McHugh, since he has not played a game for Charleston Battery in over a month. And it could be a mostly injury, and also because he has to earn his spot back. So we just have to see how it goes. But he's got it. He's got
all the good vibes to our guy Eric McHugh, the only player that I've been interviewed in Noodle Time history so far. I wish sure he'll bounce back, and if he's dealing with any injuries, we wish him all the best of luck there for continued success, hopefully in the future. But you know, guys, I think that's pretty much most of everything that we need to get on our chest this week. Obviously, it's been a hectic couple of weeks, like we've said. And again, thank you guys for keeping up with us. Obviously, we can't promise a weekly episode every single week with how crazy our schedules are, but we will for sure be touching base every other week, at least hopefully this season. And let's hope things turn around for the Dynamo, because I mean, at this point, hope is all we have. Like always, but hey, even superfan Webb Tilton, if he's listening, I see his buttons are getting pushed out there, and if there's one guy that you do not want to get pissed off, it's Webb. That's a shame right there. We got to give this guy a win. Please, if Matt Jordan, Tab, anybody's listening, if you're going to get a win, get it for Webb this weekend. Please, for the love of God.
Yes, please. And yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. It's been a very interesting episode, obviously, with Matt Jordan being involved. You all know it's going to be quite negative, but it turned out pretty good. So thank you guys for tuning in to this episode. Just keep praying for that win. Matt Jordan out, and stay noodle,
my friends.